Well, good morning.
Good morning.
We're so glad you're here with us in the building or tuning in on Facebook. We'd love to see you here in the building next week because it's such, I just say this every week, but it's, you know, the sermon was preached before we even get to this part. The message was in the songs, it was on the screen, and it just knits everything together, solidifies what we're reading in the Bible in just a creative way to express it. So we're in the midst of our series, Live It Out. And throughout this series, we have seen the result of living out our faith. But sometimes we have to remember why we're even following Jesus. I mean, haven't you ever had to do that in other areas? Go back and recall the place, the reason you're in the place that you are? Have you ever thought about that? Like maybe even where you live. There's a reason you live where you live. Something happened, you chose, made choices, you ended up in this place, and that's why you're living where you live. Or how about why we do the work we do, where we work in the fields that we are in. At some point in our life, probably early on, we made a choice to go in this direction, and we landed in that sort of work. I mean, there were probably reasons that drove us to that field, something we liked about the job, or maybe there were benefits to it, or maybe there was a pay scale that you enjoyed. I don't know. How about marriage? Why did we say I do to our spouse? When we do any kind of marriage counseling, we always try to point the couple back to this because this helps them put in perspective where they are in the present. It's kind of that monument. It's one of the reasons they are still married and want to be married because there was a reason way back here that they said the vows that they did. This perspective, however, can be applied to every area in life, to every life situation. Sorry. There's always a cause to the present circumstance we're in. Sometimes we need to be reminded of that, that there's always a cause to the present circumstance that we're in. This is true for our faith as well. When we start doubting our faith or wondering if God is real, we need to remember it was Him who called us. And that's the title of today's message. Live it out because we're called. Today we'll see in Acts 9 both the calling and how to live out that calling. So, Acts 9, verses 1 through 9, and if you have your Bibles with you, you want to open up to there. We'll be reading from the NIV version again this morning, and we'd love for you to follow along with us as we do. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for the letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them out as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly, a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. Let's pray. God, we want to reach out to you this morning. We acknowledge that you sit on the throne, that you're over and in all things, that you've put us in this place, this journey of faith, and that sometimes we need to be reminded of where we've come from and how you've gotten us this far. So help us to be mindful of that this morning. To be reminded of not only that you've called us, that you've chosen us, but that you've been faithful through it all. And we want to bring glory to you through this message today. We want to remind ourselves so that we continue in this process of transformation and drawing closer to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So previously in Acts, the topic of today's message can be found all throughout the book of Acts, but previously where we've come from Acts 1 all the way up to Acts 9. This message of being called is evident there. And if you go back and just kind of breeze through those few chapters, you'll see that there's evidence of our calling. In fact, I want to specifically zoom in real quick because we kind of do this every week and just look back to the chapter before or the message before, but just look back specifically in chapter 8 of Acts where we saw Philip. Because of his faith, because he was chosen, because he knew he was called, he went to Samaria. Because Jesus told him to. He listened to Jesus. And then he went where most would not. He went down a desert road without a clear reason for even going there. How many of us would do that? But Philip did it because he was called. And we also see the contrast of this in the result of selfish motivation to follow Christ in the record of Simon the Sorcerer, also found in the book of Acts. There's this compare and contrast there in the book, in that book. There's how to do it, how not to do it, and then how to do it again. And Philip is the guy that's kind of showing us how to do it. But something's going to change here in chapter 9. Because while Philip was willing, we're going to see Saul wasn't so willing. Saul had another plan in mind. He had a different plan from what God had planned for him. But when God has called us, we cannot ignore it. And if we stand in opposition to his plan, we're going to see the power of his hand. Have you ever thought about that? If we are called by God, and we stand in opposition of his plan, we're going to feel his power, his wrath, his sovereignty in the situation. And that's exactly what we see in the opening verses of chapter 9. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found anyone there who belonged to the way, either whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. Think about that opening verse. Too often, we take for granted the fact that we do not have to hide our faith. In fact, today in our country, we're honoring those who have put their lives on the line to ensure that we have the right to live this way. Our veterans have put family and their own lives on hold to make sure we do not have to face the persecution the early Christians did. So we want to thank them. We want to thank them for that freedom. So veterans, thank you. Thank you for those who are presently serving in our military all around the world to allow us to be free here today to give this message, to stand and proclaim our faith in Jesus Christ. It's because of them we're able to do this. Now, we might not think this only applied back then, but even today in certain countries, you know, the church is forced underground due to tyrannical governments and cultist religions. Right now, there are churches meeting in hiding places, in dark places. They can't be out in the public. There's no signs. There's no people directing them in. They're going to ask questions to find these places. They can't live it out in the open. Because if they do, they're going to jail or they're dying. It happens. It's happened in Turkey. Guy just got out of prison for 2 years. He was there for 20 years. 2 years he was in prison for proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. Pastor. It's happening all over the world. But like Saul, when God intersects with people's lives, transformation happens. So it doesn't matter if you're against God in those circumstances or in those countries, because when he intersects with your life, there's going to be transformation. And those who are set on following God do not allow the forces of this world to stop them. We need that reminder. We need to focus on and remember we will face trials and persecutions as we follow Christ. It may not be from tyrannical leaders here in the United States right now. It may not be from of religious cults here in the United States right now. But that doesn't mean it's not going to happen. It doesn't mean it's not coming. But sometimes we face persecution for our faith just from the people around us, the culture around us. Maybe from Facebook posts or even from the media. And while we might not face prison here for our faith, the isolation we might experience from it, it's similar to prison, isn't it? Or can be. When you're isolated into a group because you're not accepted because you're a Christian, a follower of Christ, and you're isolated from other people, and that world's going this way, and you feel like you're standing all by yourself, that isolation is just like being in prison. You might feel all alone, like a minority. And maybe you want to give in to the pressure to fit in, to belong to something else. That's why we're given this message today, because we need to remember that we've been called. That's what happened to Saul in these next verses. And I gotta think that when Saul faced the things that he faced, he had to remember this moment. He had to remember this moment in Acts 9, verses 3 through 6. Because as he neared Damascus on his journey to persecute Christians, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. Everything else was blinded out. Think about that. Everything. Gone. Just a flash. In a flash, everything was white. And he fell to the ground. And he heard a voice say to him, in this bright light, he heard this voice say, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" And Saul responds, "Who are you, Lord?" And I don't think he knows it's Jesus yet. I think it's just a title that he's saying. "Who are you, Lord?" It's not like, "I know you, Jesus." It's like, "Who are you?" Like this, whoever this person is has got some sort of power. And Jesus responds. He lets him know, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." Now, can you just imagine, Paul's right there, can you imagine for 1 second the thoughts all of a sudden that flooded through Saul's mind? Whoa. God from heaven just came down and he's talking to me and I've been persecuted. Whoa. And Jesus goes on to tell him, he says, now get up, and I want you to go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. Saul was on a mission. His mission was a calling that he felt passionate about. Why would he go on a journey that would take him 6 days if he didn't feel passionate about it? He knew that the Christians that were in Jerusalem had scattered to the surrounding region, and he was going after them. He had all the resources he needed. Look, there was guys with him. He had a crew with him. He had people backing him back in the synagogue. The high priests were like, "Yeah, go get him." And then out of nowhere, he has this intersection, this crash with God. Think about that. All of a sudden, Paul thinking he's on the right track. He's passionate about where he's going. He's got resources. He's ready to rock and roll. And all of a sudden, there's this crash. And God intersects with his life. And usually when God's involved, there's a radical transformation. Something drastic needs to occur. It's life-altering and undeniable. For Saul, it was an interruption along the journey. And the same is often true for us. We're headed in one direction, and God intersects with our life, and we get to turn and go a different direction if we choose to. Think about it. When you intersected with God, weren't you content to be doing what you were doing? Going where you were going? And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, God intersects? This has been the case in my life and certainly a case in my calling to ministry. Look, I wasn't looking for God. I was content. I had everything I needed. I had everything I really wanted. I was on it and my business was doing well. We had moved. We had property. And I didn't even see God in the midst of it all. And then I can remember my wife coming to me and going, "Hey, we should get the kids in church and let them make a decision about God." I grew up in church. I said, "Well, you know, okay. We'll go to church." So we go to a local church not far from here, about 2.2 miles down the road. And it wasn't long before God crashed in the midst of our journey. Because they were starting a small group there, and I just felt like this nudging to get in a small group. It was the weirdest thing. I'm like, "Okay, we're going to church, and now I've got to get in a small group. I don't even know what this is about, but we should do it. Maybe get to know some of the people around here." And they started the book called Purpose Driven Life by Rick Warren, and that was the catalyst that started my journey with God. It was like this crash 7 days into this book, first week reading it. And then it was like snowball effect after that. Before I knew it, I was involved in the church in different ways. I was helping out around there. I was part of the trustees. And then I ended up on the praise team. And I don't even know how that happened because I don't have that good a voice. But they let me in. It was kind of cool. And then I started working with the youth because I really liked the guy who was running the praise team. And before I knew it, I was leading the youth. It was nuts. And the journey just continued from there. And it wasn't like God was coming down in this audible voice like for Saul, but it was obvious he was doing things. Doors were opening that I couldn't open alone. Unlike Saul, whose instructions were clear. But you know, I think if Saul hadn't had an obstacle, a block in his way, he wouldn't have followed God. Because God wanted Saul to know, look, I'm serious about this calling. I'm serious about this transformation. I've got a plan for you, and so what I'm going to do, I'm going to do something in your life that you can't deny that it's me. And look what happened in verses 7 through 9. The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. Look, that flash of light came in, and after that flash of light, Saul saw nothing. That was it. He was blind. In fact, he was blind for 3 days. Look, they had to lead him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days, he was blind. He did not eat or drink anything. Now, I don't know if his blindness had anything to do with him not eating or drinking, but there's part of the story. Sometimes we need to shut off everything in order to hear what God's got to say. I want you to think about that. Sometimes God has to do something, he has to remove something, he has to blind us to the other things so that we can see what he wants us to see. Saul had 3 days to focus on what had just happened to him. He had 3 days to meditate on the words, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And then his response, who are you, Lord? I am Jesus. I am Jesus. Can you imagine that? Just having 3 days to contemplate on just those words. I am Jesus. The God of heaven come down and talk to you and he says, I am Jesus. Some of you have not had a radical transformation or radical salvation experience. But let me tell you, when that does happen, you don't forget it. You meditate on it. And when God called me to do what he called me to do, he did a similar thing. He removed all the distractions in order to make me listen. To let me hear what he was saying. To let what he had just said sink in. See, when I got a call to ministry, I was still content in my business. I didn't think I was headed towards ministry. I wasn't in seminary. I was just helping out in the church. I was a faithful servant. I was doing what I was called to do. We went away for a week of summer camp, and in the midst of the summer camp, I thought I was just helping the youth pastor there, and I found this thing happened to me at this youth camp where this pastor stood up on the stage, and he's like, hey, I got a question for you. You love God. Maybe you love God. I don't know, but is God on the pinnacle of your heart? He's like, is he up top? And I went, well, I think so. So then, okay, that's cool. So the next day, he comes up and goes, so maybe you're saying yes to God, he's on the pinnacle of heart, but have you said yes to God to what he's called you to do? And I'm going, what? Well, I think so. And the pastor went on and on, and not on and on, he just kept on with his story and started talking about how his call to ministry and how God calls us to do certain things. And I just felt this pressing on me. And you think, okay, that's cool. Well, listen, you know how Saul was blind for 3 days? Well, the pastor says This is Dad. The pastor says, he goes, now listen, we're all done here tonight, but I don't want you guys to say anything on your journey to your family group room. I want you just to think about what's been said and what you're doing and what God's called you to do. And let me tell you, it was probably a half a mile, maybe less, to the place that we were meeting that night. And I couldn't talk. I was furious. I'm like, God, serious? Are you serious? This is what you're calling me to? I mean, I was just like, I was distraught. And we finally get to the room and everybody starts talking about these things and they finally come around to me and like, it's my turn. And I was like, I just exploded. And everybody was silent. Until the youth pastor, he's like, well, is that what God's called you to do? And I was like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. And we ended up being up late that night. In fact, the youth pastor was like, hey, Ron, listen, I'm tired. Do you mind wrapping things up here and cleaning up and you know, just getting it all squared away, and I'll see you in the morning. And I was like, really? You're going to leave? I need to talk to you. You're my spiritual leader right now, and I want to have this conversation with you, and you're leaving me? I was up till 3 in the morning that night journaling and thinking about what God called me to do. How am I going to do this? How am I going to be a pastor when I got this business? How am I going to support a family? I don't even know, God. And let me tell you, when the sun was up, I was up. And I couldn't wait for the youth pastor to get up. And the first thing I did was run down the hall and go, if he's called me to this, how's it going to happen? He said, Ron, I got a verse for you. He said, I want you to go read Romans 12, 1 and 2. So I was like, okay, cool. So I get my Bible and I open it up. And I'm like, really? You want me to be a living sacrifice? Like I need to put my life on hold and set it aside for you, God? That's what you're calling me to do? And that's what he called me to do. 2 weeks after that trip, on that missions trip, I was signed up for seminary. That's what God does. When he calls you to do something, you got to do it. You can't ignore it. And look, there's going to be people around you that don't understand it. When God calls you to do something, that people are going to doubt what you're called to do. They're going to be like, but you were headed in this direction. Look, the guys that were around Saul, they didn't really know how to respond, did they? They were like, well, we're headed to Damascus. I guess we'll just keep taking you there, right? You're blind now. We don't understand this, but let's just go where we were going. And this is often the case in our lives as well. Think about how a spouse might respond to God's calling on one's life, like a missionary or a foster or adoptive parent. I can remember when I told my wife that what happened and what we were headed, and she was like, I don't want to be a pastor's wife. And I went, but God told me that's what do you mean you don't want to be? What do you mean? And it was like another opposition, but I couldn't stop the calling. Let me tell you that down the road, God worked through circumstances and through people and worked on her heart. And I just had to be faithful with what I had to do. Because when he calls us to it, we got to go get through it. And often when God speaks clearly to us, it's scary to those around us. Especially when we tell them what he said. In fact, the people around us might find themselves confused, and the only thing they know to do is just to keep doing what they've been doing because they didn't hear from God and they think you're crazy. But God does speak, and he does call us. And we have to be reminded that this journey from Jerusalem was about 6 days, and it says we don't know exactly where they were on this journey, but it does say that they were near Damascus. So it was likely he was in the last leg of the journey. But think about this. Saul now had a calling on his life. And everything would have slowed down. Okay, so when you travel, when you're on a normal journey, and you've got all your senses, you can travel at a faster speed, right? But what did it say in there? It said that they had to take Saul by the hand and lead him. Have you ever led someone? Have you ever taken someone by the hand and led them, an older person or someone who has a disability or someone that can't see? Have you ever tried to lead them? We did that one time in this marriage thing because it was trying to teach us to lead. And it was crazy. I mean, what would have taken less than a minute to go around a room and get around these obstacles probably took us 5 to 10 minutes. The time to do it was so extended because we had to over-communicate. We had to be cautious. And the reality is that the person being led is often entirely dependent upon the person leading them. So they won't make a move until they get instruction. And sometimes the people directing us do not understand what God is doing or where they're supposed to be going. Think about that. But we should not worry ourselves with that. Because God's plan is always unfolding behind the scenes. In fact, next week, we'll see, despite fear and uncertainty, even the plans of the men leading Saul, that God's hand was at work not only in Saul's life, but in others at the same time. See, when we think that we're in this thing all alone, God's doing something over here in somebody else's life, and at some point, that's going to intersect because God's plan is being weaved even when we don't know what's going on. That's true. There's a saying out there that says, if God has called us to it, he'll see us through it. How many of us believe that? How many of us believe that if God's called us to it, that he will see us through it? The first thing we got to answer in that statement is, do we really believe that God has a calling on our lives? That's the first question you got to ask in that statement. Do you personally believe that God has a calling on your lives? I'm going to answer that for you, but I want you to contemplate the answer. The answer is yes. Everyone who knows Christ, who believes in Christ, has had a calling placed upon their life. The second part of that is, do you believe that he'll see you through it? See, some people believe that they've been called, but then there's people that don't believe that they're going to get through it. Man, it's doubt. And the enemy loves to use that tool of doubt to get in there and go, see, look where you are right now. How are you going to get through it? Oh man, I battle that one a lot. That's hard. Okay, God, you've called me to this thing. Now I'm stumbling around. I'm blind. I don't even know where I'm going. But you say you're going to take me through it. We need to be reminded of this. And the proof is not only found in our passage today, but in many other passages in Scripture. There are certain things that we need to know. If we're called, there are certain things that we need to know. First, if we're called, God will fight for us. Deuteronomy 1:30 says, "The Lord your God, who is going before you and will fight for you as he did in Egypt, before your very eyes." Do we need to remember that, look, God has been looking out for his people, those he has chosen, those he has called, a long time before we were even on this earth. The Israelites, his chosen people, are wandering in the desert. They had an Egyptian ruler over them who was tyrannical, and he freed them from it. Do you understand that they were in the desert for 40 years, and their clothes never wore out? Their shoes never wore out. Why? Because God saw them through that journey. He had gone before them, and he was there in it with them. And he wants to fight the battle for them. Look, Isaiah says that he's not only going to go before you, but he's going to level the mountains. So the things that you think are going to be the big thing to overcome, he's going to smooth them out. He's going to bring them down. He's going to break down the gates that are set up to stop you, the bronze gates, the obstacles in your life. He'll cut through those obstacles because he is God. Number two, if we're called, we're not alone. Look at Deuteronomy 31:8. The Lord himself goes before you, and he will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Oh man, how hard is it sometimes to be in that place? To feel all alone, to feel like you're the only one going through this, that you're down in the dumps, and then all of a sudden, you got to remember, God's there with you. You're not alone. We can't let fear overtake us. We can't get discouraged. Listen, I'm preaching this to me this morning. There's a mirror back there I'm looking at. I just made you look. Anyway, but I'm serious. I'm preaching to myself this morning. I need to remember not to be afraid when things seem uncertain. I need to not get discouraged when the battle is so raging before me. I need to know that God's gone before me and He's with me in it, because I'm called. If I'm called, I'm not alone. And look, our calling is based in grace from the beginning of time. 2 Timothy 1:9 says, He has saved us and called us to a holy life. He's called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of His own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus from the beginning of time. So in other words, way back when, before you were even a twinkle in anyone's eye, God had a plan for you through Jesus. Through His grace, He had a plan. And He's called us to this life, not just like the ordinary life, not a simple life. He's called us to a holy life. Look, the guys here in our church have just gone through this study about holiness and going through the book of James and how we're called to be holy. And in that book, James says that God says that we're to be holy because He is holy. That's a high calling. And the reality is that we can never be holy apart from Jesus. We need Jesus to be holy. That's where grace comes in. That's where we have to be reminded of the grace of Jesus, because we're never going to get there without Him. He makes us holy. The last part of our study in that group was based on this idea that we need to draw in to Jesus. We need to be knitted to Him. We need to be seeking Him every day in order to seek this holiness, in order to get to that point. And we realize that it's going to be a process. We realize that we'll probably never get here while we're here. But that's not what Jesus is so concerned about. He's more concerned about the journey than the finish line. Jesus wants the journey to be well, not so much the finish line. We want the finish line to be well. And look, God is faithful to those He called. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 9a, says God is faithful. In fact, the second part of that is says who He has called. Who He has called into fellowship with Jesus. And that's the other point, is that we're called into fellowship with Jesus. We're to be His. We're to walk through this life with Him. Look, He doesn't just call you and go figure it out. In fact, you're going to see next week in our passage as we continue in Acts that he didn't just call Saul and go, "Hey, buddy, here you go. I called you. See you later. Have a nice life." That's not what God does. If you've been called, you have to be reminded you're called into fellowship with Him. And that He's going to put people in your life, people to surround you, to draw you in. To be reminded of His presence. And you know, when we think about this idea of calling, what is the purpose of calling? And I think John Piper sums this up the best. He says that the call of God creates what it commands, namely faith. In other words, we have to be reminded that our calling is not meant just as a calling. It's meant to grow our faith. It's meant to expand God's reach into our lives, to expand His kingdom through us. His calling commands great faith. I want you to think back to all the disciples and look, but when they were called, didn't it take faith for them to step out beyond that point? Those who claim to follow Jesus, who don't step out in faith, are they really living the calling? And look, this calling from God is not temporary. This calling from God is not like, okay, you've been saved and you're called and that's it, and it's, you know, you're going to do this little thing and then you're done. That's not it. No, no. His calling is irrevocable. Romans 11:29 says, "For God's gifts and His call are irrevocable." In other words, look, He's going to give you things. He's going to give you certain things, and He's going to give you this calling too, and He's not going to take it away. He's going to say, listen, here's this calling, and I want you to follow through on it. If you look at Saul's life, and we're going to continue to look at Saul's life, that calling never went away. In fact, I would say that the calling grew with more intensity with each passing day. If you go back to the disciples' life, that was the same with them too. So here's the thing. Why do we need to live it out? We need to live it out because we're called. We need to live it out because God doesn't waste anything. He's not going to remove the calling. He's going to be with us through it. He's going to put people around us. We're never alone. And this, the catalyst of His calling has all been based in Jesus through grace. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You for an opportunity to be reminded that You've not only saved us, but You've called us. And there may be some who are tuning in today who might be thinking, I don't even know what He's talking about. Lord, I just ask that You would press into their hearts and show them the gift of salvation through Jesus on the cross and the forgiveness of their sins. That they're made holy through believing in Him. That they stand righteous in front of You because of His faithfulness, because of His calling. And then I ask as they might take that step of faith, that You would reveal to them the calling You have. For those in the room today that might be wondering, God, I believe, but I don't know what the calling is. I just ask that You would speak to them this week in such a clear voice, almost like maybe the same way that You did to Saul. That it would be transformational. That their life would center around Your voice speaking to them. Maybe it would be through someone in their life. Maybe it would be through the Scriptures this week. Maybe it would be in devotion. I just pray that they would hear You in such a tangible and powerful way. That they would remember that monumental moment and be driven by it the rest of their lives. God, we know You hear our prayers. So we'd like to see some of that result today. Remind those who are called what their calling is. Draw them close to You. Let them see Your power in all things. In Jesus' name, amen.